Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites for the truth, HagmanReport.com, HagmanReport.com. There you'll find those who contribute articles. What are they called? Contributors. Tomorrow I'm going to work on my colors and numbers. HagmanReport.com. That's where to go. Thank you, John Q. Public. Kevin, thank you so much for your contribution. If you haven't read that, HagmanReport.com. All right. HagmanReportLive.com as well. There you'll find our audio video files for your pleasure. Now, I got a packed show for you today. Of course, if it's Monday, the Liberty Man comes on. We have a conversation, two detectives talking about current issues. We've got well over 60 years of combined experience in the investigative realm, and theLibertyMan.com, that is the website of John Moore. Before I bring him on, I just want to mention a few things. Oh, I got a couple of things on my mind. By the way, Eric the Tech, how was your weekend?
It was good.
That's good. Eric the Tech had a great weekend. I hope all of you did as well. You know, the holidays are over right now. It's a brand new year, folks. Man, it's I'm so thankful it's a new year. If you're thinking about high interest credit cards you've used over the holidays, I know there are a lot of people out there who have. The bills that will be coming, here's an idea to ease your mind. This is something that sometimes it just makes sense to do. I'm going to ask you, why would you pay upwards of 20% or even over 20% APR on credit cards when you can combine them into one low interest rate payment? You can pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, folks. Roll multiple credit card payments into one just payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95 APR with auto pay. That's 5.95% APR with auto pay. It's a lot lower than the national average rate of over 20%. And there's no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. The application is so quick and easy, you can apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver, folks. They do. So here's what we've worked out with Lightstream. And I would urge you to take advantage of this. We have. And it was so simple. But just for you folks, just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. Oh, yes. This is special. Hagman Report special. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's lightstream.com/Hagman. Don't forget, two N's on Hagman. Now, this is subject to credit approval. Rates include 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And I want to thank the fine folks there for that offer. That's pretty good. Oh, by the way, if you haven't done so already, can I ask, you know, Saturday, oh, I got up and I had just a tremendous cup of coffee. As I do every morning, I drink coffee. Folks, if you haven't done so already, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. See this bag I'm holding right now? That's my go-to. This is Detective's Choice. This is my go-to. It's hyper-caffeinated, maximum caffeine boost found naturally in high-end coffee beans. This is gourmet coffee. And I'm telling you right now, it's gourmet coffee. I love it. I love to fix it with a French press, but it's a great smooth. It's strong, but smooth. HagmanStore.com. Three different types of coffee, three different kinds, K-cups, ground and bean. Also a single purchase, or if you've tried it and like it and you want to be on a subscription basis, you know, delivered every so often, you can do that too. That's HagmanStore.com. All right. One thing, there's a lot of news, obviously. A lot of things happening over the weekend or happened over the weekend. Watch Puerto Rico. Watch that area. Stan Deo was right last week when he talked about that. There were some things too in, with the IG report that have come out. You know, the more people have the opportunity to read it and digest it, they find things and they connect some dots. So there are some nuggets in that IG report. The question, however, remains, what will be done about that? More on that in a second, I guess. More on that in a second. I want to get to something that's been on my mind because I've been getting emails this weekend. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's in the water. I don't know what people are thinking or drinking. I don't know. Maybe you can help me out, folks. Maybe you can help me out. Look, I've been getting emails and how can I put this? Well, okay. Apparently, some versions of the sovereign citizens movements, apparently it's going around. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the trigger event might be. But sovereign citizen, that phrase in and of itself to me is an oxymoron. You can't be a sovereign and a citizen at the same time. So that kind of, that phrase is kind of a weird thing. All right. But, right now there is a couple of things are happening. I mentioned my coffee. All right. I'm going to tell you something about this. This relates to the story I'm going to tell you. I mentioned this coffee. The reason I mentioned this is we pay significant proceeds from your purchase of this coffee go to organizations that include Vets for Child Rescue, that's Craig Sawyer, and Russ Dizdar. This is to fight human and child sex trafficking and human trafficking. Now, the reason that this all relates to everything, we just started this. And I've been getting emails saying, well, wait a second. You've got to take notice of something called the Pentagon Pedophile Task Force and the Children's Crusade. Okay. I've mentioned this before briefly. So I contacted the Pentagon. Ain't no such thing, baby. Now, in case you think I'm not read in, maybe I'm not. Maybe this is a super secret, ultra secret. Oh my goodness. You know, some sort of, masked by, no. This is a figment of someone's imagination, in my opinion, based on everything I've been able to research. It doesn't exist. I haven't found where it exists. If someone can actually provide me with documents and a point of contact at the Pentagon, please, I'd be more than happy to apologize. I don't think that's going to happen. That's number one. Number two, the Children's Crusade. Now, that's apparently that's an organization. Where I have a problem here is the creation and the backdrop and the actions of this organization. Again, everything I'm saying here is open source. This is my opinion based on my research. I've just gotten so much literal hate mail and one the potentially actionable death threat about this. This supposed Pentagon pedophile task force, folks, it doesn't exist. Yet there are tens of thousands of people who are, air quote now, supporting this organization and the individuals behind it. Wow. And what happens is they discredit organizations like Craig Sawyer's, Vets for Child Rescue, that actually work with law enforcement. and Russ Dizdar, who actually works with law enforcement. Yes, I've been with Russ when we've talked to law enforcement on a federal, on a state, and on a county level. And what happens is it destroys our credibility, or destroys the what we're trying to do. We're working. We are in the field. When I say we, myself more vicariously than not, but I'm in the field as well. But it destroys organizations like Craig's and like Russ's. So I just want to let you know that there are organizations out there, or the dreaded air quote organizations, that don't exist, that people are behind peddling this nonsense, in my particular opinion, based on my research and investigation, my calls, my attempts to verify the validity of these organizations. And it hurts us. Which brings me to a second closely related topic. Hang on, John, man. I'll be right with you, because it's important. Because if you would see, I mean, my inbox was, you know, I went to my computer Saturday morning, and I'll tell you what, it was like, I pressed the inbox and it was like on fire. Okay. The second thing is, there is a man in jail in Wisconsin. The reason he is in jail, now, he has been a speaker at certain conferences, which I am no longer, I was featured at one conference a number of years ago. And after that, I said, no more. But he's being propped up as this, some sort of hero. Again, he's in jail in Wisconsin. The reason I bring this up, this is closely related to exactly what I'm talking about. This gentleman has a friend, who, by the way, signs off his Facebook and Twitter accounts with believe in me, or Facebook accounts with, and blog posts, but believe in me, I'm with the high command. Oh man, it hurts my head. But he's in jail because he violated a restraining order, a lawful restraining order. And that restraining order was to prevent him from threatening the life of a female Florida attorney, who happens to be, by the way, also in my particular assessment, was threatened by that gingerbread guy out in California who called me a satanic pedophile. And people are calling him a prisoner of war, and it's just insane. And it's all based on this this sovereign citizen theory. All of this comes back to the sovereign. And I know I'm going to get tons of email. Folks, let me tell you something. There is accurate data and information, just a tiny bit. There's always a little bit of truth mixed into these things, right? But the fact of the matter is, we are not under admiralty law. Going back to the gentleman who was in jail, the reason I mentioned the conference and such is because he's spoken at conferences. One that I spoke at or was appeared at back in 2015, 2016. I guess it was 2015. I don't know, 2016. Maybe it was 2016. Yeah, I have nothing to do with him anymore. But he's being propped up as a hero. In my view, he's not. He's a lawbreaker. He broke the law. He violated a restraining order. And I've got video archived on hard drives of this man, A, threatening the life of this Florida attorney. I've got it. B, making some questionable statements about his, dare I say it, his thoughts about pedophilia. His own thoughts. But here's the important thing here. We cannot allow ourselves to be wrapped up in conspiracies in the most literal definition that are intended, in my view, to take away, to remove the legitimacy of what we are trying to do. Do you follow what I'm saying on this? Now, what I'd like you to do, because we're on YouTube, put your comments in the comment section below, but I'll tell you something, all right? Do not be profane and do not threaten. You can disagree all you want, but do not be profane and don't threaten. I will delete those. Otherwise, you know, you can see I don't delete comments. So, but I just want to tell you that whatever is taking place right now, for example, there's one more thing. In Wisconsin, there are people going to this man's rescue or whatever, trying to get him out. And the theory is he gets documents in the mail, which supposedly were intercepted by the sheriff there, the warden of the jail. And all he's got to do is sign it and lick it, lick the document and sign the document. I know. I don't know. Maybe it's lick a stamp. I don't know. But lick the document, put some DNA on it and sign it, and then they've got to let him go. The story there is, well, the sheriff, they changed their policies. They scan the mail in, and therefore he cannot sign it, and he can't put his DNA on it, which is probably, in my view, a good thing, but that aside. So flame away, troll away. But I just want to caution everyone. Look, there is some truth to at the very, very core and very minimal truth at the I don't want to say the sovereign citizen movement, at some of the goings on with respect to the Constitution and such, and our rights and how our rights have been taken away from us. But do not, and please don't fall for the obvious blatant lies and falsehoods, please. And do me a favor. Do your own research. Don't depend on what I say. Do your own research. Okay. That's all I ask. Do your own, because by the way, new constitution, no, ain't happening. Quantum language, no. You know, the colon, hyphen, postmaster of the world. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please thank your lucky stars. If you do know what I'm talking about, well, great. And if you disagree, well, you're free to disagree. But I'm telling you right now, okay, I've done the research, I've done the investigation, and I just think that people are headed for a lot of trouble, and I cannot believe how many people are falling for this, which, again, the reason I mention all of this is it discredits our legitimate efforts to go after those people who are smuggling children and dealing and trafficking children and doing all that. It's a discredit to what we're doing. So I apologize for taking the time away from John Moore, thelibertyman.com. He had no idea I was going to take away this time from him, and I apologize for that. But, John, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Doug. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Man, I apologize for taking the time out. But, John, I got to tell you, my email box was just, you know, on fire. I don't know what – oh, we're going to need your video if you got it. I don't know what transpired over the weekend, but, man, I've been just got all kinds of emails about stuff, about this movement. And, you know, look, I know you're a smart guy, and maybe you don't agree with what I said, and if you don't, let me know. But there are some issues here.
Well, I agree, absolutely. And what people – we don't have any video, it looks like, do we?
Not yet.
Okay.
And your audio is really, really kind of muted. It's low. So if there's any way to turn up your audio, brother. I know you had some issues with audio before, so.
Okay. Well, we've been working on audio, and we thought we had it fixed. But without – there's no way I can test it until I'm live.
There you go. Eric turned up your audio on our end. We're maxed out on our end, so.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of listeners complaining about the quality of the audio.
And I see you. It's good to see you, man.
All right.
We'll
talk a little bit about the – you mentioned the Pentagon. Actually, it's the Department of Defense.
Yes.
Well, they have no jurisdiction outside military bases, and crimes committed by service members are against service members. That's the only jurisdiction that men and women who work for the Pentagon investigating crimes have.
Yes.
Which is somewhat limited, actually. Going to the topic of sovereign citizens, you probably remember, Doug, as I do, back around 1995 and 96, along in there, there were people convening citizens' grand juries around the country.
Yes.
And I met some of these folks. I may have attended one or two of their meetings, but here's what I asked them. I asked them, does the sheriff agree with what you're doing, and will the sheriff enforce any rulings that your citizens' grand jury come up with? And they look at me with a blank stare. The point being, unless the sheriff is willing to enforce the will of the citizens' grand jury, you don't have a citizens' grand jury. It's merely a discussion club. And, of course, there can't be two sheriffs. There can only be one sheriff of one county. And that would be the elected sheriff, of course.
That's right.
When people get involved in things they don't understand, another conspiracy that keeps popping up is, quote-unquote, nobody died at Sandy Hook.
Right.
So start looking at the numbers. You got all these dead children, each of whom, almost all of them, had two parents. In the case of divorcees, maybe four parents. Siblings. Now, you would have to have all the parents, all the grandparents, all the siblings, all the first responders, these spouses of the first responders, all the people who work for the school, all the, when I say first responders, the ambulance attendants, the paramedics, all the people at all the funeral homes, the medical examiner, would all have to be part of a massive conspiracy involving hundreds of people, including the 12-year-old sisters of these dead children. Try to keep a 12-year-old girl quiet when she knows something like this. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen. The scope and the size of the people who would have to be part of that kind of conspiracy is mind-boggling. It would be several hundred people, Doug. Several
yes.
hundred. Parents, grandparents, siblings, spouses of the dead school teachers, and so forth. It boggles the mind that people would believe something like that would even be possible in other than a controlled military environment. Now, when we had the alleged attacks in the Gulf of Tonkin, that was a controlled military environment. And the military was able to control the witnesses, control what the witnesses said and who they talked to and everything else, which got the Vietnam War off to a great start because of the non-existent attack in the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964. But outside a controlled military environment, you're not going to have that kind of situation, Doug, to control hundreds of witnesses, their spouses, their siblings, their parents, their grandparents. It's not going to happen.
No, I totally agree. And you know, I had watched, apparently I don't have a life. I watched all of the hours. I think it's 12, 14 hours worth of depositions by Alex Jones, Paul Joseph Watson, Rob Dew, concerning the litigation involving the Sandy Hook situation. And I had talked to Alex Jones about this off air. All right. And he had, the last time I spoke to him, look, I don't know what his position was contemporaneous to the event. I was not aware, you know, I just wasn't paying attention to that, at that time. But I'll say this, you know, his attitude is changed. For example, yes, children were killed at Sandy Hook. So folks, again, that's just so people understand. Okay. Cause I know I'll get emails saying, oh, you're throwing Alex Jones under the bus. No. The other thing, John, is it's interesting to me that Sandy Hook is getting more attention. I know it involves children, but more attention than the Vegas shooting. It seems like we have more questions unanswered about the Las Vegas shooting that happened than we do with Sandy Hook. I don't know. Am I wrong in that?
Well, what happened in Las Vegas has been carefully analyzed by my friend Sam Andrews. He's on with me.
Yes.
Every Monday. Sam is a world-class expert when it comes to small arms, what small arms can do, what they can't do. He's also he's an engineer, and he's done some engineering analysis of the sounds that came from there. And he's come to some interesting conclusions. I'd rather he speak to these matters himself as to his conclusions. And his conclusions do not agree with the official account, so we'll put it that way.
Okay. And Sam is, you sit on with you every Monday, right?
Yes.
All right. Because I've heard him before, and he makes a lot of sense. But it just, I'm amazed at how, look, I understand children died at Sandy Hook. I understand, you know, the emotional, attachment there. But when you talk about body count, I got more questions about Las Vegas than I do. Look, both situations are a little odd in different respects, but, yeah, I agree with you. And I don't know. I still have a lot of questions about Vegas, but anyway, yeah, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing how certain things, and you know what, John, there's a 90% of the time or majority of the time, I believe that there's a kernel of truth that's always at the basis of some discredited theory or application of an idea, in order to discredit the truth itself. That's just kind of what I see. So. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Well, that happens all the time, Doug. By the way, I bought a pound of Detective's Choice coffee this morning. I'm looking forward to getting that, I guess, in the mail in the next few days.
Absolutely. Our goal is 4 days from the roaster to your door, or within 4 days, so it'll be fresh when you get it. It'll still be steaming.
You want to talk about some detective stuff? People like to hear that.
I do. Talk to me.
Okay, well. Back in 2005, I was doing executive protection work. I had several attorney clients who liked to be driven to the courthouse where I was their paralegal and their trial assistant. So I decided I needed a vehicle suitable for that work. And I'm doing a search, and I was originally looking at Crown Vicks, but then I came to realize that the Lincoln Town Car was similar except better in terms of amenities. So it turned out the 2005 Lincoln Town Car was the first year they had rack and pinion steering in the Touring Edition, and the last year of the Touring Edition, which is the what might be called performance upgrade for the Lincoln Town Car. So I found a nice black one, and I started to make modifications to it. I applied, I had a professional do it for me. A coating on the inside of all the windows except the windshield, a special coating the Department of Defense uses, it keeps the glass intact instead of breaking up into little cubes when a projectile goes through it, turning all those cubes, of course, into secondary projectiles. We had strobe lights installed on the four corners, red and blue lights, front, back strobe lights, air horn, and the spotlight with the aircraft landing light upgrade. And, of course, Michelin tires. I've driven nothing but Michelins for about 1,000,000 miles, and they never let me down. That town car is now in semi-retirement, and I recently bought another black Lincoln Town Car to take its place. Well, I did a nationwide search on both vehicles, by the way, to find those vehicles. The first one came from Grand Rapids, Michigan. The most recent one from South Carolina. They're excellent automobiles for my purposes, and they really perform quite well, Doug.
It sounds good. Now, the coating on the windows, let me ask, is it you didn't do that yourself, or did you do that yourself?
No, I had a professional do that. They did that coating plus a tint on top of it.
All right. That's one thing I'm really big on, especially moving from houses or cars to houses. If you've got a door, maybe you have a solid door, but like a window that's next to your door, you know, occasionally you'll see the door window combinations. I'm really big on reinforcing that window, because you could have the strongest door in the world, but if you've got a window next to the door, or even a window in the door itself, here at the studio, we've got an exterior door that's got the 3M bulletproof, bullet-resistant film in case somebody takes a shot.
Product. There's a 3M store up the street from me when I was in the city, and that's an excellent product.
Right. So, you know, thinking, I mean, for people at home, and it's very affordable. I'll tell you something, it's extremely affordable. So if you're thinking about preps as things get a little bit dicey, if you've got windows, first floor windows or windows period, you might want to look into some, window coating, including but not limited to 3M products, because I think it's important, especially if somebody tries to take a crowbar to it too. And that buys some time.
It shocks the criminal when the crowbar bounces off.
That's right.
And they don't get what they expect, which is a glass of shatter. And that gets their attention and slows them down.
Have you, with that vehicle you're talking about, the Lincoln Tahoe, by the way, it's a good choice, I think. It seen a lot of action? I mean, it's seen a lot of use in terms of...
Well, we did quite a few executive protection jobs, and... These attorneys, when I drive up in front of the federal courthouse, I got the strobe lights going while we're unloading all the necessary things to go to court, which in a jury trial can be several packages. And the attorney likes the attention. It makes them feel they're important to have the strobe lights going while they're unloading in front of the federal courthouse.
It's also a safety issue, too.
Yes. If you're on the interstate highway... And all of a sudden, everything comes to a stop, and you're looking in your rearview mirror at that semi-tractor trailer. That's when I hit the strobe lights.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty horrific accidents happen, you know, when traffic ahead of you stops and you stop, and then thankfully, you know, a car or two behind you stops. But, man, you know, three or four, five, six cars back, you know. And that's
that semi tractor trailer could take a bunch of cars in front of it. There's a lot of weight there.
Yep, exactly. So now that's a good idea. I like that.
The new town car just got the strobe lights installed last week, and the tinted glass, and the air horn. I really love my air horn, by the way. It gets people's attention.
When you say air horn, does it sound like? I mean, it's just a.
There's two versions now. There's the older style with the pressure tank, and then there's the newer version, which is electronic and is still just as loud. I got and quite a bit less expensive, so I went ahead with the electronic version.
Sounds about right. Well, that's good, man. Keep me posted on all that. Anything else? I got to ask you in terms of detective work. Anything exciting you can talk about, like anything out of the ordinary that you're doing, that you're involved in?
You and I do need to talk privately.
Okay.
But let's see, what can I talk about publicly? I'm not sure what that would be offhand.
That's all right. I'm not going to. Let's keep ourselves out of trouble here. We'll talk privately on the other issues. But yeah, it's amazing. I think people have a natural curiosity too about what investigators, detectives do and how we do it and stuff. I was just looking last night, by the way, on replacing some fingerprinting equipment. I don't know. I don't know what your favorite is. If you've got a favorite.
No, I was trained in the old method, which is kind of passe now, but I was trained in the old method of ink and paper, obviously. One of my jobs in the Army was to fingerprint the A-teams before they went out in the field. So I would fingerprint, 40 or 50 men one morning, to get them ready to go out into the field.
That's kind of a tedious task.
Well, it's just, you have to do it. You just line them up and you take them one at a time and it's just, you just do it.
You know, so it's funny, John, our major crimes unit here in my town just got rid of the aquarium that they were using for the, nihydride lifting of fingerprints.
Right.
So I joked with the head of the major crimes unit, it was about a week ago. I said, so you're getting up into the 1990s now, 1980s, 1990s. How great is that? But it's amazing to see how many departments, kind of, there's such a disparity between the departments that have, you know, the latest and versus the departments that have, well, the past.
Well, it's a matter of money, Doug.
It is.
Yeah. And priorities. Yeah. I know where I live, the budget for the sheriff's department is really tight, and they're scrimping and anything that, any way they can to get by. The days of the loose money from federal government are over, as far as I can tell. And we had Homeland Security there for a while, putting money into these departments. But I think that's pretty much dried up also.
Yeah, it seems that way. I've been, on a local level, I've been talking with some people in the positions that deal with the budgets. And it just seems like everything's kind of drying up from the federal to the, as it waters down into right. the local. Yeah. So I don't know. Speaking of, law enforcement, John, are we ever going to see any kind of justice prevail with the traitorous actions of the, in my view, the Clintons and Obama?
Well, if we do, it will not be before President Trump is reelected. Absolutely not. Now, once he is, this man, I love this guy. He's got 4 years to do what he's going to do and create his legacy and help the country in any way he can. And of course, he's got to prioritize what he's going to do. There's a lot that goes into considering prosecuting a former first lady, a former secretary of state, a former president. There's a plus column and a minus column. The plus column would be justice, obviously. The minus column would be our stature in the country, how it's going to affect people, whether it's going to be violent pushback from those who support these individuals, Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton. A lot that goes in, a lot to consider other than just going for pure justice. I'm not sure I'd want to be in that position myself, Doug. It'd be a tough.
Yeah, I think you've got to think about the whole of the country. Although you might be morally and legally correct and proper, exercising judicial authority over, we'll say, a former president, what would that
We've
do?
We've been through this before.
Yeah.
The president of the Confederate States was Jefferson Davis.
Right.
He was arrested. He was captured and arrested following the end of hostilities and the Civil War. He was charged with treason, but never tried. And cooler heads prevailed. The goal at the time was to reunite the United States, not to have further division. And prosecuting the former president of the Confederate States of America, Jefferson Davis, would have caused more problems than it would have solved. So they didn't do it.
You know, I'm not as familiar as you are with respect to that. Would that have caused or reignited the Civil War, the hostilities involved in the Civil War? I mean, is that would that have been the end result?
Well, at that time, first of all, it was several years later, General Lee said that he never would have surrendered if he had known what Reconstruction would have been.
Interesting. Okay, that's a good point, too. I'll just leave it at that because people can research that on their own.
Right.
Go ahead.
We don't need to refight the Civil War here. But we're in many ways, we're still living the consequences of what happened in the 1860s.
Yes, we are. I'll put a period right there with you. Very, very interesting thing that you brought up there. It's very interesting that you brought that up, especially with.
So I think there's a direct correlation for not prosecuting Jefferson Davis and not doing a criminal prosecution of Hussein Obama, Valerie Jarrett. Well, we may go after Valerie. That would be good. And, Hillary Clinton. But there's plenty of underlings that are just as culpable that would not cause the social chaos that going after these high-profile people would do. various people in the FBI, the former head of the CIA, Mr. Brennan. Those people do need to be prosecuted.
Well, yes, I agree. And there was an article in the Federalist that just came out today, which is January 13th. It's an article by Margot Cleveland. John, this speaks to your point. I suspect it does anyway. The title is IG Report Bombshell. Did the FBI and Department of Justice ask Putin's buddy to help get Trump? All right. This is by Margot Cleveland in the Federalist today. In the subheading of that, or the paragraph, the first paragraph is, Department of Justice official Bruce Orr called a meeting of several federal agencies to discuss, quote, working with a Russian oligarch because of his belief, premised on the unverified Steele dossier, that Trump was corrupt. And the article itself is very interesting because it turns over some information that kind of just skirted by everyone's attention. And this cites Oleg Deripaska, just to, so people know, as the oligarch. But I don't know why I mentioned that except to say I just think that there's a lot of people to choose from, John, that should be indicted, including the underlings, including the Department of Justice and FBI. I mean, we can at least get them, can't we?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And that's just what I was advocating just a moment ago, is that they go after these individuals that were directly culpable. And, of course, you know, based on the evidence I've seen, Hussein Obama was knowledgeable and gave his approval to these matters. Going after a former president is, I don't believe, would serve the best interests of our country. As much as I would like to see it happen, I believe at the end of the day, it's probably best not to.
Do you believe he was a legitimate, constitutionally eligible president, John? Have you studied that? Have you gone into that research?
Well, I have. And there's two aspects. Well, first of all, almost nobody seems to know what a natural-born citizen is.
Thank you.
And there's two parts to that. One, most people know that's born on American soil. The other part is having two American parents.
That's right.
If you don't have both, you're not a natural-born citizen. If one parent is not an American citizen, then you're a dual national. You're not a natural-born citizen. And on the face of it, no matter where he was born, yeah. He could have been delivered in a taxi cab in front of the White House.
Exactly.
But if he doesn't have two American parents, he's not a natural-born citizen.
Thank you. I love it.
And that's the law. That's what. And there was a Supreme Court decision in the 19th century clearly defining what a natural-born citizen is. And the founding fathers did not want dual nationals to be a president of the United States. They wanted natural-born citizens who did not have a dual national status.
That's correct.
If you're born in a foreign country with two American parents, you're a dual national. If you're born in America with one American parent, you're a dual national. End of story. That's it. So by definition, President Obama, he may not have, but he could have a British passport if he chose to, because his father, being a Kenyan, was a British national, a British citizen, which meant his son, Barack, could have a British passport also, and of course be a dual national, British and United States.
And what I find interesting, John, is how the media, the left wing, the legacy, the lunatic media calls, or how they describe people like you and I. We're talking about constitutional eligibility, and every time that we do this, they flip it around and say, well, these two, you know, yahoos are talking about where he was born. No. We're talking about the constitutional eligibility based on the definition, the legal definition of natural born citizens. So you're absolutely correct on that. Man, it just blows my mind how some people just don't get it.
Even Fox News hasn't covered that.
That's right. Thank you.
You know?
Yeah.
it's so in our face. You know, here I am, a private detective, a 45-minute drive from the first red, green, and yellow traffic signal. I'm in the country. And if I know this, a lot of people know this. You know, it's no secret.
You know, and that kind of makes me wonder, back to your statement about for the good of the country, we don't, you know, we shouldn't, it wouldn't be a good idea to indict a former president. And I suspect you're correct. Don't send me emails. Hear me out, folks. I suspect you're correct, because what do you think would happen to President Trump or his members of his family in retaliation? Now, you may say, well, that's no excuse. I understand that, but we're talking about the real world, where anyone can sue anyone for anything and cause enormous amount of damage just by creating a whole bunch of expenses, needless expenses. I get all that. So, you know, there's things here. The good of our country, you're right. I don't know, brother. I don't know. The more I think I know, John, the less I realize I do know. How's that for a statement?
Well, that's just life in general. We're always learning, and that's what makes life interesting and fun, hopefully, is to keep learning and reading and studying, and that's just part of having an interesting, fun life. And, of course, in our careers, you and I, Doug, finding difficult things is what we do. I had an assignment. This was back in about 1976. No internet, except in maybe some laboratories. I had a client call me up on a Friday afternoon of a holiday weekend, asking me what the price per copy to distribute the Midwest edition of the Wall Street Journal was.
Okay.
And
no, wait, I want to follow this now. Price per copy. To distribute the, okay.
To distribute the Midwest edition of the Wall Street Journal.
All right.
And despite it being a holiday weekend, despite my living in the country, despite there being no internet, Tuesday morning I had that information on his desk. I had an assignment a few years ago to find an out-of-print Texas college textbook. That was interesting. But some things don't work out too well. I had a homicide investigation where I was sent to New Orleans and spent a week in the French Quarter looking for a quote-unquote Cadillac Mike. That was all I had, a Caucasian male.
Right.
Cadillac Mike.
Right. Thanks.
During the daytime, I knocked on literally every door, every residence, apartment, home in the French Quarter. And at night, I was in every entertainment establishment in the French Quarter. And I did find a guy. I actually did find him. It took several days. It turned out he wasn't any help for the homicide, but I did find this guy. It took me a week. But he was no help to the case. And I learned a lot about New Orleans, to say the least. It was summertime. What a hot, humid place New Orleans is.
Yeah, I've never been to New Orleans. I've been to Louisiana, but never New Orleans. And I got to tell you, my wife was one. It was in June, I think it was, or July. It was in the summertime, and she said, "Man, was it so miserable?" I think she spent 2 days there. Yeah, I feel for you. But you know, you bring up a very interesting point, because I think this is relevant to what we're seeing today. You did things like this, that, and things like that. Go back to the Wall Street Journal story. Before the internet, and I'm looking at things like that and wondering, the reliance on the internet is just, it's dangerous. People forget how to do things.
Well, they don't know how to go into a library and do research.
Yes.
The classic ways of doing research in a library are no longer taught. A friend of mine worked for the administration of St. Louis University School of Medicine, St. Louis University School of Law at different times in her career. And becoming a student at that level is not easy. You have to have a very high grade point average and letters of recommendation, high SAT, and so forth. And they bring these medical students in law, and they already have a four-year degree, by the way, before they get there. And one of the first things they do in student orientation is take them to the library and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is a library. and but you can graduate with a four-year degree these days, and I believe in many of these schools never set foot in the library.
It's amazing. Seriously. Yeah. I'll admit this. I woke up very early in the morning, and I don't remember the old detective show, Cannon, you know, the big guy.
Big guy.
William Conrad, I think it was.
William Conrad.
Yeah. To go back into that time period, you know, the '70s, or even the '80s, if we're having a discussion, I haven't just see that on TV is in the middle of the night. But just to go back to that and watch how people or watch how the detectives back then did things versus today. And now, you know, it's kind of certain things are like shooting fish in a barrel. John, with Facebook, can you believe how much, I mean, when in my prime, when I was doing detective work, I would love to have something like Facebook. Can you believe what people are posting on there? My goodness. Oh, it's just amazing to me.
One of my still active detective friends, he calls me up whenever somebody that he's trying to get information on shows up as one of my Facebook friends. And his name's Ron, and I say, Ron, there's 5,000 people on my Facebook page. I don't have a clue who most of these people are. But what we did in the 70s was knock on a lot of doors and spend time in libraries and courthouses. That's what we did.
That's right. And you could tell so much by a face-to-face contact, by looking someone in the eyes and just kind of getting the feel for them and listening to their voice and, you know, being in their presence.
There's no substitute for that. There isn't.
That's right.
Face-to-face is always the best. That's always.
Right. Yeah, which, but some of the admissions and some of the information people just, that people put online these days to me is just astounding. And, there was a case of a public official who was actually collecting, compensation locally here, a very high profile individual, and then putting his, vacation pictures on Facebook, specifically
doing things on vacation he claimed under oath he couldn't do.
Right.
Physical activity.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, that was something to see. And I thought, my goodness, why would you do that? Number one, you know, I mean, why would you? Wow. Is it hubris or is it ignorance or is it, what is it that would allow or have?
It's hard to climb in somebody's brain and figure out why they do something, Doug, although, you know, we want to do that. But
yeah, I just.
It's speculation without evidence. It's just speculation.
Yeah. It just blows my mind. But boy, I'll tell you that, you know, back in the day, and that's, I have a lot of respect for like you and people in our, age group that really went out. If you wanted answers, you beat the bushes. I mean, you knocked on doors, you walked, you sat, you watched, you did what you had to do, today.
Well, we look at the world differently. You know, you and I work with attorneys all these decades, and the way we look at the world, the way the attorneys look at the world is almost always completely different.
That's right.
And a good attorney who knows how to use a good investigator will do things that are just amazing. In fact, I teach a seminar for credit. You know, attorneys have to take so many hours of training every year to keep their bar license current. And I teach a seminar titled The Proper Use of Investigators in Trial Preparation. Was it the effective and efficient use of investigators in trial preparation? Where I teach attorneys how to properly use investigators for the trial preparation, and they get credit for that, of course, to keep their bar license current.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's good. And what's one thing, if you don't mind, what's one thing, one takeaway that you could that might help the people in the public? Folks, you might have a need for an investigator, or maybe your attorney does.
People, when people contact me and want to hire me for my services, first thing I ask them is, do you have an attorney? And then I tell them, I work at the direction of your attorney, not you.
There you go.
I tell them the following. I can find you evidence that's interesting and fascinating and fun and maybe scary, but if it won't help you in court, what's the point?
That's right.
What's the point? You put me in contact with your attorney, and I will find the evidence that your attorney needs to help you win your case. I'm not going to work directly for you. I'm simply not going to do it.
Yeah, if they're represented, or it depends on the case. Well, no, I mean, if they have an attorney, it doesn't. I mean, you report to the attorney, but yeah, I would never take it. If that arrangement was not made, I would not certainly take a case. You know, I report to the attorney. And the other thing too, we're bound by the truth. So the information, good, bad, sideways, it doesn't matter. It's coming out. Regardless.
Well, you have to have that reputation, to survive in our business. You have to.
That's right. I'll tell you, it's, you know, thinking back, going through the days, and I saw a comment, I think it was a comment, it might have been an email, about interviews, interrogations, and phone books, and somebody got my meaning there. Sometimes when you have to move somebody along, in the old days, a phone book would come in handy. And I was talking with a police officer not too long ago. I was asking about about the petition they have in the cars. And I said, so how many people have had a case of waffle cheeks in your vehicle?
Right.
You know, of course, denials all the way. But, you know, I don't know. Things have changed, that's for sure. But I'll just leave it at that. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, just chatting away here about things that are interesting to us. Heck with you guys. I'm kidding, of course, but no, I think you'll find some of the, I think this is pretty interesting. The web presence for Mr. John Moore, read all about it right there. And by the way, listen to his show that airs live on RBN. There it is right there. Go to thelibertyman.com and listen every day. It comes on, in the morning, every morning. John, what time does it come on in your time zone?
Well, Eastern time, it would be 9 to 11, Central, 8 to 10, and so forth. And, of course, archives, you can listen anytime you want. It's just the modern age.
Yeah, I listen to the archives. That way I don't have to, you know, fight. You've got a great lineup. You've got a regular litany of guests. You've got Samuel Adams on Mondays, right?
Sam Andrews, right.
Or Andrews, I'm sorry. Singing of the beer, I guess. And then
Tuesday we have Steve Ben-Noon, a former CIA field agent.
That's right.
And first hour, and then my friend Leon Green, a former Navy officer. Leon's going with me on a cruise, by the way. We leave in about 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And Wednesday, my friend Professor James McKinney, who taught astrophysics at Cornell University and taught mathematics at Cornell University, amateur archaeologist who consults with foreign governments. Second hour, my friend Jeff Nyquist, who, in my opinion, should have a desk in the West Wing of the White House advising the president on the true nature of the communist threat.
Mm.
Thursday, we have my friend Steve Hunt, the John Moore Radio Show economic advisor. And then Friday, my friend Tom Berryhill, first hour, talking about emergency survival communications. First hour, and then Dr. Lynn Wilbert talking about health-related matters the second hour. It's a great lineup of people well-qualified in their areas of expertise.
Absolutely. I love it. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, stay right where you're at. Top of the hour network break. The Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. Stay right where you're at. I'll be right back.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites for the truth. HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you'll find our audio, video files, their program descriptions, links, for example, links to John Moore, the Liberty Man, and everything we talk about. That's HagmanReportLive.com and also HagmanReport.com. There you will find items of interest, news items, contributors, articles, reports, op-ed pieces, show prep. That's at HagmanReport.com. Before I get back to John, you know, I'm going to tell you something. This weekend, it was Friday. It was like 66 here. I mean, it was incredibly warm. And I took my dog out for a walk. And then Saturday morning, I woke up and it was 31 degrees. And let me tell you something. I was cold. And so Saturday, I decided I needed to get cozy. And folks, it's not the time to get cozy. And there's no better place to snuggle up with a good book, for example, a warm drink, than your very own home. Or maybe you're hosting, I don't know, some after the first, after holiday parties. Your furniture should suit your needs, but also feel uniquely you. And that's where Joybird comes in. Now, I've got a couch in my office, a Joybird couch, and I am so, that's me. And people look at it and say, wow, that is you. That's me. They've got over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, over 250 unique silhouettes. Do the math. Joybird's got a lot to choose from. The days of settling are over now. Now, let me tell you something. With Joybird, your personal one-of-a-kind style, it should match your furniture. I think you would agree with me on that. Bring your mood boards to life with hundreds of customizable pieces and over 50 fabric options. Whether you're more of a neutral beige kind of person or a wild color kind of person, you can do it. It's built by Joybird, created by you. It's quality handcrafted furniture. Each Joybird product produced piece is made with ultimate care and precision, real wood without all those harmful chemicals, and they use responsibly sourced materials. Plus, you get a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in. If you don't love it, if you don't love Joybird, if you don't love what you've crafted and what they've made for you, you can return it. They stand by their quality and craftsmanship. If it's not everything that you hope and dream for, send it back. Free returns within 2 weeks of delivery. Here's what they've worked out with the Hagman Report, folks. Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/Hagman. Remember, 2 N's on Hagman. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today. Go to joybird.com/Hagman. Again, go to joybird.com/Hagman and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Hagman. Remember, 2 N's on Hagman. All right. And by the way, the supple leather that they've got, it's fabulous. Eric, get off the couch. I'm joking, of course. All right. My guest is John Moore every Monday, of course, not a guest, part of the program. And, he's a renowned detective, among other things, including a talk show host. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. Without going any further, we need to ask about Virginia, because what's going on in Virginia, folks, in my view, is going to set the stage for future states, for future events, for everything. So, John, let me ask you out of the gate this hour, what is going on in Virginia with the, we got three bills, Senate Bill, I think 16. I have my notes here. Let's see, Senate Bill 16, Senate Bill 64, House Bill 67. The gun legislation, the anti-gun legislation, the anti-Second Amendment proposed legislation. What's going on?
Well, they're proposing legislation to would make a common firearms and accessories illegal in the state, making it very difficult for private indoor firing ranges to exist, making it difficult for any outdoor range to exist, and even going after people's hunting dogs, making restrictions on dogs and taking the care and handling of dogs.
I haven't seen that. Okay, the dogs?
Right. Right. They're going after dogs, too, or the dog owners.
Okay.
The people behind us are George Soros and his money. George Soros' money is what got the anti-gun people to capture the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion in Virginia. They have an agenda. My personal belief is the agenda is to get violent pushback. Right now, it's nonviolent pushback. Almost all the sheriffs have come out in favor of the Second Amendment and established, I believe there's only maybe 10 counties that have not become Second Amendment sanctuary counties. Many of the cities in Virginia, cities are not necessarily part of counties. They are separate jurisdictions. Many cities have adopted these the Second Amendment sanctuary motions as well. The annual gun rights rally is a week from today. We're hoping that many thousands of men will show up. I'm not encouraging women to go. I would encourage men, if they do go, to have a group of 4 to 6 at least, and they stick together. The odds of Antifa violent people showing up, I think, are very great, and I don't want to see anybody get hurt. And if you're in a group of 6 or more men, I think you're less likely to get hurt. I'm looking, and I hope you're looking also, Doug, for men and women who will report live on my show what yes. they're observing there.
Yes.
And we'll be on the air next Monday when this gun rights rally is taking place. We'll be on the air.
Yes.
Of course, we're not live right now, I don't believe, are we?
No, not today, no.
Okay. No. Well, the events will be historic. Regardless of whether it's peaceful or violent, the events of a week from today will be historic. It has the potential to be the largest gun rights rally that we've ever seen. Being right there on the East Coast, there's many people who could drive there relatively easily from the adjoining states. So what happens a week from today is very important, and I'm, like I say, actively looking for men and women who would report live on my show from 9 to 11 a.m. Monday morning, a week from today.
I've been really not torn about, not torn. I've been really concerned because I Matt Bracken wrote, he's the author of Enemies Foreign and Domestic, and I know you know who he is. And he said, boy, stay away because, a scenario could happen that could really put the freedom fighters in trouble. And my thought is, now I like Matt, I agree with him. Generally speaking, 99.9% of the time. But in this case, John, I believe that the risk is, look, I don't care. We need a show of not force, but a show of numbers.
We do. It's risky business. Anybody contemplating going there needs to know there is an element of risk.
Sure.
I would encourage people who go to have some kind of go bag with water, leather work gloves, a respirator, maybe a construction worker's hard hat. A flashlight might be good if you think it could run over into the nighttime. Plenty of cash, a cell phone, obviously, as personal protection. I have mixed feelings about bringing firearms to this event. I believe that if you have a concealed carry permit and from Virginia, you're probably good to go. But people need to make prudent preparations, I believe, to be in an event that could possibly turn violent and have some personal protection equipment, leather gloves, hard hat, respirator, water, and a plan A and a plan B. A group of men that will stick together and take care of each other. That's, I think, probably the most important thing. Do not get caught there as a lone individual. The incidents I've seen where people get attacked by Antifa, they go after the lone people. They look for the soft target. 4 men or 6 healthy males together do not present a soft target, and they'll be left alone.
You know, I agree. And I also understand that the risks, the potential for something to happen, look, they're great. But you know what? This is such a critical event. I know that I often refer to Virginia Citizens Defense League, this organization. They have a website at vcdl.org. And they send out alerts and such, and they're sponsoring a number of buses, and it's kind of their lobby day, their lobby rally that we're talking about, or at least that was started by them. And they're chartering buses to go. They're chartering buses to lobby day on January 20th. All seats are $35 for the buses. All depart Richmond at 2 p.m. Sign up through Eventbrite. So I'm just reading from their pages. But yeah, you know, we need to show this leftist tyrannical government in Virginia that, they're servants, they're public servants. They work for us. And by the way, they have got no right to take our rights away. God-given rights as delineated by the Constitution. And I think, men, as you're going to get some flack from women, I'll bet. Because why not women? John, why not women?
Well, my way of looking at the world is to protect women.
There you go.
Keep harm. If a woman wants to go, God bless her. But that would be one more thing for the men to be concerned about, is protecting the woman in their group, or women, plural, as opposed to looking out for each other. The average woman is about the size I was when I was 12 years old. About 5'2", 100 pounds, 110 pounds. They do not belong in harm's way. And even a woman of larger stature, they still don't have the upper body strength of a man. So they're at greater risk of harm because of their lack of physical ability to defend themselves. Any good martial arts instructor will teach women to break holds and escape.
Yes.
The only place women go toe-to-toe with men in hand-to-hand combat is movies. That's the only place.
Thank you for saying that. Yep. Pete, and, you know, ladies, look, this is not an affront against you at all. This is just reality. And by the way, what John and I are saying, and I agree with him 100%, is we need to, look, we want to protect you. Okay? I don't know. Maybe we're just, John, are we old-fashioned? Is that what this is? Just old-fashioned?
Well, it's reality. There was a group of Australian tourists in the Superdome during Hurricane Katrina. The men formed a circle, and the women and children were on the inside of the circle.
Yep.
That's what they did, to protect the women and children.
That's
just reality. And most men understand this, I believe, the necessity to protect women from harm. And having women in that environment makes it more difficult, and I just assume women didn't go, quite frankly.
I totally agree with you on that. And I know that people arguably will say, well, you're chauvinist, but they use worse words than that.
Can't attack the message, you attack the messenger.
Yeah, yeah.
The reality is women don't have the upper body strength and cannot defend themselves in unarmed combat, the same way men can. It simply can't happen.
Hang on a second. I'm going to put Eric on the spot. He wanted to weigh in. Eric, what'd you say?
I just said then that means the NFL chauvinist and the NBA chauvinist and so on.
Yep.
Not. It's just how it is.
That's right. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Eric, the tech. Yeah, you know, it's something. It's something I think that we've lost in American society, especially in Western culture today, is protecting women. I don't know. A lot of guys have
turned
in a bunch
of ways.
Very dear
friend of mine. We've known each other since 1977 or 78. He says, "You mean, John, you value a woman's life more than a man's?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I do."
Yeah. Yeah.
No apologies. I do. They need protection, and they deserve protection. And it's the man's job to protect the women. And I'm not going to apologize for that.
Although I've seen some women who say they're women, but act like, I'll just say that I'm going to have to check to see if they're really women. especially by their behavior. And anyway, yeah, I'll just leave it at that before I get into worse trouble. But, you know, in the larger sense, getting back to the topic, do you see any pullback by Virginia? Because here's my fear.
They're dug in. They're not moving.
Then we're going to battle, I got a feeling.
Well, at least it's going to be a legislative and philosophical battle that may become a physical battle. And quite frankly, as I've said a number of times the last few weeks, I believe that's the goal. I believe they really do want violent pushback as a consequence of their actions.
But what happens, John, when I don't see how if the Democratic legislature passes, for example, Senate Bill 16, Senate Bill 64, and House Bill 67, if or even two of the three or one of the three, specifically SB 16, what recourse do we have? We can't afford to wait as this progresses through the courts, can we? Should we?
Well, what's going on in Virginia is being watched in the other 49 states. And once these bills become law, and I believe they will, most if not all of them, the governor will begin attempting to enforce those laws. Of course, the Gun Owners of America, NRA, will file appeals for these things, but we're looking at a year, 2 years, 3 years for these things to work their way through the courts. In the meantime, the governor of Virginia is enforcing these laws using whatever resources he has, that's a big question of who's going to enforce these laws. The Attorney General of Virginia has publicly stated that, if I can paraphrase, the law is the law, we expect it to be enforced. They already know that these sheriffs are not going to enforce it, the chiefs of police are not going to enforce it, National Guardsmen have been, in fact, the wives of the officers of the National Guard have appealed to the governor to pull back. Because the threats the officers of the Virginia National Guard are getting from the citizens, that's already taking place, and the wives want to see their husbands, the officers of the Virginia National Guard, be safe, not be threatened. But that's already taking place, Doug. So it's a volatile situation. We know the possibilities. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know the possibilities range from peaceful protest to violent pushback, and we simply don't know at this point what's going to happen.
Okay. Yesterday, it was yesterday. There was an article live from, or I'm sorry, let me take that back. Virginia's giddy gun controls. Will next Monday's big protest in Richmond come too late? This was an article in the American Spectator. Basically the question is, and I'll just kind of sum it up here. The fact that the left has taken over the state legislature, they're giddily preparing to exercise every ounce of their newfound powers. Their expansive legislative agenda includes the passage of the ERA, remember that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. By the way, for those, I mean, what kind of numbskulls? The deadline expired back in 1982 to pass the ERA. What are these people thinking? A bunch of green, you know, environmental stuff.
That's all they're doing is stirring the pot.
Exactly. Now, you know, equal rights, I believe in special rights for women, you know, like you, in the spirit that you mentioned, not equal rights, but special rights. But I guess, you know, is this pushback by us too late? That's, you know, we had the House, or we had the state legislature, and we lost it in the midterms. You know, it's a consequence of the elections.
But at the federal level, well, that happened, and
yes,
I believe it'll turn over again in November. We even have members of the Democratic Party trying to unelect this Ocasio-Cortez woman. She's off the charts crazy and opposing many of her own people in her own party already. So, yes. You need to know.
Yeah. Which, you know, we got 21 days. Let's see. I think 21 days to the Iowa caucus, I believe. I could be wrong. 3 weeks. How do you see the, on the federal level, how do you see things shaping up there? Warren, Sanders, Biden? Thoughts?
I'm not sure it matters. They're all putting out the same message, essentially. They're all within, I think, 2 points of each other in the polls, whatever the polls are worth. You know, all the polls said that Hillary Clinton would get elected. The only poll that matters is the one that takes place on Election Day.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm not going to get caught up in the nuances of which Democrat will be the nominee. There's just very subtle differences in their messages. Donald Trump's going to beat no matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. I would like to see Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or Hillary be the candidate. He's going to beat them no matter who it is. It doesn't matter. And they know that.
I agree with that 100%. I don't care. Even if Michelle Obama came in or Hillary came in and saved the day, supposedly, at the convention, I believe Donald Trump would win. Now, having said that, do you have any sources or are you hearing any rumblings about, you know, how they're going to dispose of President Trump? Because you said last week and the week before that, and even the week before that, talking about the 25th Amendment here, to remove President Trump. Do you still see that as
a threat?
They're going
to keep playing mud until something sticks.
Okay.
25th Amendment is something I'm sure they continue to work on. The thoughts about him going after him with the International Criminal Courts at The Hague in Europe, I think is probably a non-starter at this point in time. But they'll continue slinging mud and getting whatever can stick to stick to discredit the president. In the meantime, the president over the weekend, I think it was Saturday, possibly Sunday, he sent a message by a tweet, one of these tweet messages in the Farsi language.
Yes.
To the people. It was brilliant.
I thought so.
Brilliant. I don't doubt that the president doesn't know the Farsi language, but that doesn't change the fact that he sent the tweet in that language supporting the men and women who are opposing the Ayatollah in Iran. The Iranian government was really stupid to claim that they didn't shoot down that plane for several days. That really discredited them in the eyes of their own people and, of course, in the eyes of the world.
Exactly. The left, by the way, I don't get their love affair with at this point. I guess it's anything that is against Donald Trump, but their love affair with really the left's love affair with the power structure in Iran. I just don't get it. And I also don't get how we as an American people, by the way, can just roll over when people like, Rashida Tlaib and, members of the Squalor Squad, treasonous members, especially those who I'll just stop right there. Rashida Tlaib, I'll just stop right there. Otherwise I'll get taken off the air. How we can allow them to continue to do what they do?
Well, we have no choice but to allow them because they're duly elected and they're congresswomen and quite frankly, I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing because they're really discrediting their party to most people in this country. The majority of the people think they're complete idiots and let them keep talking. I encourage them to keep talking because their message is at the local level. We have a Democratic Party in my county, Crawford County, Missouri, and we've had several people, prominent people in my community, leave the Democratic Party because of the shenanigans of people like that. So I encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. I'm glad they're doing what they're doing because they're really discrediting the Democratic Party at every level, from the county level to the state level and, of course, the national level.
Hmm. Okay, yep. Let me get your take on this. This is from Ross Story. Listen to this headline, John. This is great. Fascism scholar. If Trump wins again, America will be ready for full-on authoritarian rule. And the article says the end goal for Trump, Barr, the Republican Party, and the conservative movement more generally is to have their own secret police.
Where is that from?
That's the Ross story. And let's see here. Who's the author on this? But this goes into saying that if Donald Trump wins again in 2020 or this year, we, the Americans, will be ready for a full-on authoritarian rule, and that President Trump will turn into a Hitler-esque type of leadership figure. That's, I'm paraphrasing here. This is from the Ross story. The author is Chauncey DeVega, I guess it is. I'm sorry, from Salon, but it's republished in Ross story. But I'm just, what are these people thinking, man? I mean, I don't know. It's like
that's made up out of what's called whole cloth. There's no basis of any evidence for that to become reality.
Well, I mean, the article states that the Republican Party, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Trump's regime and an expression of his personal will and power. Okay, yeah. It sounds like a projection as opposed to anything else, but I saw that and I thought, man, I wonder what John would think about that. Got it. All right. Airliner down in Iran did it. Apparently, oops, first they denied it. Second, oops, it's a mistake. Now it is what it is.
That whole thing will be out of the news cycle here relatively quickly.
I'm going to ask you about something. That plane was taking off. It wasn't incoming. It was outgoing. And Iran had to know that they were going to get a ration of, over this takedown. You know what I was wondering? Who was on that plane or what was on that plane? Was there a thumb drive? Was there a hard drive? Was there a computer? Was there a person? Why that plane? Why that? Have you thought about that?
Well, not too much, Doug. Most, the Canadians on there were Iranian nationals who had Canadian citizenship.
Sure.
Almost all of them, I'm sure. And you and I live in a world of evidence, and we can speculate with the best of them, but in the absence of evidence, that's all it is speculation.
Yeah, but sometimes, I get kind of, my mind gets to wandering, and I'm thinking,
Well, it's just human, Doug. Of course you do. We all do that. That's just part of being human, is to speculate.
Sure.
And a close society like that, the odds of us finding out very much about those passengers, who they are, what they did, are slim to none in that kind of closed command society that they've got over there.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we only have we got about 30 minutes left. I want to, John, I want to just pick your brain about really so many other subjects, but tell me where your interest is focused, where you're looking here. Every week I ask you the same question. Are you looking at the international venue, the domestic venue, or are you looking at earthquakes? Are you looking at weather? Are you looking at, what are you looking at on your program specifically?
Okay. Well, violent earth changes, of course, are always something to pay attention to and be aware of. There's the number of volcanoes that are cooking off are alarming, to say the least. Earthquakes associated with the volcanoes frequently are alarming, to say the least. And people need to, you mentioned Stan Deo. I had Stan on my show as a guest many, many times. There was something the U.S. Navy published that he had access to, and this is, we're going back 12, 15 years ago. It allowed him to predict earthquakes typically about 72 hours before they happened. They stopped doing that publicly, which cut Stan off from his way of predicting earthquakes. My speaking engagement in Indianapolis, the 1st and 2nd of May.
Oh, yes.
Pastor Paul Begley asked me to focus at least part of it on the New Madrid seismic zone, which is very near where I live, which I'll do that, of course. The U.S. government, the United States government scientists, they believe, not John Moore, they believe that the New Madrid seismic zone will split the country in two, east-west at the Mississippi River, along with the violently rising ocean levels. The two will be concurrent and happen at the same time. Once there's an inland sea extending from New Orleans to Chicago, the weight of the water in a New Madrid seismic zone will trigger, and this is according to U.S. Navy scientists, by the way, will trigger 3 9-point-plus earthquakes. Now, the Richter scale, developed by Charles F. Richter, is a logarithmic scale. When you go from a 1-point earthquake to a 1.1 earthquake, it's double the magnitude. If you go from a 1-point earthquake to a 2-point earthquake, it's 1,000 times more powerful. 10 times. 1,000%.
Okay.
A few years, about 2 to 3 years after Charles F. Richter died, they downsized the Richter scale by one full number value. Now, if you go to the Geological Survey website and you look at the earthquake section, you'll see that earthquakes 5.0 and higher are in red. Danger, danger, red, red, danger, danger. 4.9 and lower are in black. Now, with the original Richter scale, all those 4.0s and higher would be in red. People are concerned when they see red, danger, danger. Now, they knew back in 1984, 1985, what would be happening 30, 35 years in the future. They knew there would be a dramatic increase in the number and severity of earthquakes.
Right.
So to keep the public a bit more docile for a bit longer, they downsized the Richter scale by one full number value back then to give the appearance of things not being quite as bad as they really are.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I wonder how many people really understand that. I did not know that until you had brought that up. Despite me hearing Stan talking about everything, I didn't know that. I mean, before today, or not just today.
Well, Stan knows this, but, you know, unless somebody brings it up, it's not going to be talked about.
Right. Right, but I didn't realize that until it's been a while. I mean, but
New Madrid seismic zone is known to be the most dangerous on the planet. Mm. The winter of 1811, 1812, there were hundreds of earthquakes, many hundreds of earthquakes. Three of them rang church bells on the East Coast in Philadelphia. Now that's a lot of force.
Yeah.
You know, Philadelphia is easily 1,000 miles away. The rock going north from New Madrid, going south and going east, transmits this energy very efficiently. The rock going west does not, because of a ridge of granite just west of the New Madrid seismic zone. It's going to absorb, we're told by the scientists, about half the energy, which is a good thing for those of us in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
So when you get near the New Madrid seismic zone, New Madrid, Missouri, and surrounding areas, you'll see large full-color posters in public areas, like cafes and restaurants, for example, showing the New Madrid seismic zone, giving people instructions on what to do to mitigate, what to do in case there's an earthquake, and so forth. It's on everybody's mind that lives near the New Madrid seismic zone. Not so much once you get away from there. Despite the government efforts to educate people and inform them, with limited success, very limited. But that's a clear and present danger that has not and will not go away. It's always there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When will it cut loose again? I don't know. Once we have an inland sea, then it's pretty much a definite thing that we'll get 3 9-point-plus earthquakes once there's 200 feet of water on top of the New Madrid seismic zone. That's a lot of weight, Doug, a lot of weight.
I was going to say the weight would be the contributing factor.
The weight of the water would do it.
Okay.
That would trigger the earthquakes. Correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, folks, John is going to be speaking at the event. It's Mega Quake 2020, Indianapolis on May 1st and 2nd. Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero, Gil Broussard, John Moore, of course.
We sold out in Cincinnati last May. So get your tickets
wow.
early.
Okay.
The standing room early, only.
Okay. And this is going to be held at Crown Plaza in Indianapolis Airport, by the way. Okay.
I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize in Prague, Czech Republic 2 years ago because of my original work concerning violent climate change and the fact that human activity has no effect on climate. It's a fraud. It's a fantasy. And it's a cover story.
Yes.
To keep people going to work every day. Watching professional sports and doing the normal activity, because if they knew what was really going on, they would make dramatic changes in their life, in their lifestyle, where they live, and that would harm the economy. So that's why we have this cover story, the Al Gore story, that human activity is changing the climate. That's a fantasy. But there is violent climate change coming. It's already well underway. There's a Hollywood film titled The Day After Tomorrow, starring Dennis Quaid.
Yep.
The premise of the film, there's lots of premises. There's a wonderful love story in everybody's teenage boy and girl, and the love of a father for his son. But the main premise of the story is the consequences of what happens when the Gulf Stream stops.
Yep.
Now, when the film was made, the Gulf Stream was already slowing down, and the scientists were already very concerned. Several years after the film was made, the Gulf Stream did in fact stop June 12, 2010. And that's a scientific fact, easily demonstrable. Anybody can go to the U.S. Navy website. They publish a brand new map. There's a link from my website, by the way. The Navy publishes a new map every 24 hours showing ocean surface temperatures. And as opposed to the film, everything happened in a matter of a few months in the film. We went from normal to a new ice age in a few months in the movie. Well, that's Hollywood. But we're living the consequences right now of the Gulf Stream having stopped June 12, 2010. People ask me when I go to these presentations, John, when's it going to happen? My response, it's already happening. We're already living those consequences. The Gulf Stream used to, past tense, used to regulate the jet stream. Now, Doug, you're in Pennsylvania, I believe, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, 5 miles above your head is something called the jet stream.
That's right.
It goes west to east in the northern hemisphere on a kind of a big W up and down motion while it goes from the west to the east, typically 150, 200 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
Two things impact our weather the most, energy from the sun and the jet stream. Well, when the Gulf Stream used to regulate the jet stream, it caused the jet stream to behave in a more or less dependable fashion year after year, decade after decade, that we could count on. Certainly there would be anomalies and changes in that, but it gave the farmers, men and women involved in agriculture, something to count on to be able to buy $500,000 to $1 million worth of equipment, buy and lease thousands of acres of real estate, and of course buy seed and fertilizer and herbicides and pesticides and build a business and build a life. The premise of the agriculture is a 4-year business cycle, 5-year business cycle, at least it used to be, one bad harvest for every 4 good ones. You talk to anybody involved in raising corn, wheat, soybeans, and so forth, that's their business model. That's broken, Doug. They no longer can count on that because the weather has become so bizarre, they can no longer count on that. Which means if their equipment isn't paid for, their real estate isn't paid for, if they don't have cash to buy the seed, fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, they're at great risk of losing everything because of the risk of having 2 or 3 bad harvests in a row, which is where we are right now. They can't depend on the weather at all to do what it's done for centuries. It's scary, and it's affecting food prices, it's affecting agriculture, it's causing many independent family farms to go under because they don't have the financial wherewithal to withstand two or three bad harvests in a row, leaving the Fortune 500 companies with the deep pockets to pick up the pieces and stay in business.
Hmm. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. There is no more Gulfstream?
There still is. You can see on the Navy map, published every 24 hours.
Okay.
It comes up the East Coast, past Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, gets to about Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and starts going east by northeast towards the British Isles, which has done, we don't know how long. In fact, Benjamin Franklin gave the Gulf Stream its name.
Right.
Scientists call it the North Atlantic Thermal Hailing Conveyor. It goes out a few hundred miles and does a little loop-to-loop and stops. Yeah, we may still have, I don't know, we did have a screen capture taken before June of 2010 showing the Gulf Stream going all the way across the Atlantic Ocean where it warmed up. England, Ireland, Scotland.
Correct.
It split north-south, some going north towards the Scandinavia, the rest going down towards the coast of France. That's over. That's broken. It's finished.
Okay. I'm looking at, I'm not sure which, let's see, it's SciJinx.gov, well, .gov website about the Gulf Stream. And there's nothing in here about the Gulf Stream stopping, okay, at all or changing, but performing exactly as you described it with respect to.
When you look at the Navy map, you'll see that they differentiate temperatures by colors. Yellows and bright reds for warm.
I see that. Yep.
Blues for cool and purple for cold.
Okay.
And so you can see that Gulf Stream and then the bright, lighter colors coming up the East Coast. You can see it heading towards England, Ireland, Scotland. And you can see it no longer goes across the Atlantic Ocean. It simply doesn't do it.
You're right.
Oh, I know I'm right.
I mean, obviously.
I don't know if you know Dr. Bill Deagle or not. And I would say this to Dr. Deagle's face. It makes you wonder if having a 200 IQ is a blessing or a curse, Dr. Deagle. But he and I interviewed on his show in 2010, Dr. Luigiana Zangari, a PhD scientist living and working in Italy, along with a team of scientists in Europe and North America, working on nothing but the Gulf Stream. Those two interviews, the third and fourth Fridays of July 2010 is when Dr. Zangari let us know that the Gulf Stream had in fact stopped June 12, 2010, and he also informed us that the Gulf Stream used to regulate the jet stream. So those interviews, I think, are on my website also.
Actually, yes, and I have them right here. In fact, I'll put a link up to the interviews
themselves. Doug, we're talking about science.
Yes.
You know, I'm a homicide detective. When it came to science, I was playing football. You know, I'm no scientist. I don't pretend to be. But Dr. Zangari has the most impeccable credentials there are when it comes to a very, very narrow part of science, which is studying the Gulf Stream. Yeah, the best credentials that there are. There's nobody with better credentials when it comes to that very narrow part of science, that being what the Gulf Stream is, what it's doing, what it's not doing. Dr. Luigiana Zangari, he has not spoken publicly since, by the way.
Really?
I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No.
Is he? We're living, we are right now, we're living the day after tomorrow in slow motion. That's what's happening. So, we're living that in slow motion.
So the consequence is going to be...
you can't have an ice age without warming first.
True.
If the planet was warming up, that melted freshwater ice in Greenland and in the Antarctic. The melting ice in the North Pole is floating salt water, so it didn't change anything. But the changing of the salinity of these oceans is what caused the Gulf Stream to stop. And the planet had to warm up for that to happen. Well, it has warmed up, and the Gulf Stream stopped. Now we're at the beginning of a new ice age. So that film is predicting the future that's happening with us right now.
Okay. And I'm thinking about that film and the consequences or, you know, what I remember seeing in that film, the violent, changes. So you're saying it's just going to be a longer movie, I guess. The movie's going to be much longer.
Oh, it's Hollywood. They had their agenda to make a movie. They didn't want to drag it out over decades. The climate doesn't change that fast, but it does change. And this has happened before. There's been climate change in the past, and we're in the process of experiencing that right now in slow motion. Not the Hollywood version where everything changes in a few months, but the reality of a new, at least mini ice age, being upon us because the Gulf Stream did in fact stop, and parking some aircraft carriers with their big turbines going is not going to get it going again. it's not going to happen. The only thing that would happen would be putting more salt in the oceans, which isn't going to happen either.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
No.
So what would you recommend for people listening to this and they're going to say, well, what can I do about it? I mean, we can make preparations, right?
You can't do anything to stop it or mitigate it. What you can do is take care of your family.
There you go. So what would you do? If this
is
the first time
I've got my safe haven in the Ozarks.
Okay.
We've got a place for a garden. We've got all the water that a human being could ever dream of. We've got neighbors that know each other and will take care of each other. We're working with all the first responders, the sheriffs, the chiefs of police, the first responders to help our community be safe from all threats, not just violent climate change, but all threats.
I got you.
And it's the nature of these small communities that they take care of each other. They know each other. I walk into a restaurant, the hostess says, John, how you doing? I go to the post office, postmaster says, John, good morning. I go to a meeting of anything. There's people that know me and trust me. I go to Walmart, 45-minute drive away. I see people I know and say hello to me. It's the nature of these small communities that they know each other and they trust each other and they take care of each other. You really want to be part of a small community away from these cities.
Right.
That has a strong agricultural base and people who will take care of each other. That's at a good altitude. At least 900 feet above sea level.
All right. So, folks, listen, 900 feet above sea level. Ozarks is a good place where John's at.
The Navy says so.
Yep. And look at the map on John's site. Wow. I'm looking at this, and it's not like the first time I've seen this, but it's just it's overwhelming to me sometimes to look and think, my goodness. And on the page that you had, too, where the Vatican map minus Florida, I thought that was rather interesting. Wow. Okay.
Well, Doug, I teach concealed carry training, and not that much anymore because some changes in the law. But almost every class for years, I would have at least one, sometimes two submarine veterans in that class. And I talk to these guys privately. I debrief them. And one guy told me to the foot, the altitude of his home. How many people can tell you to the foot, the altitude of their home, Doug?
I don't know mine.
Almost none.
No.
Almost none. And one retired Navy submarine officer, he moved to a town of 650 people. His wife grew up in a home on Long Island where she never had to set foot in her own kitchen. That was all taken care of by servants. And no Macy's. No tea shop, no tea, what do they call them? These places where we go to drink tea. Anyway, none of that stuff here. And they moved to a town of 650 people. They bought the largest, most beautiful house in town. Only because of the Navy briefings. He was at the classified briefing where he was told that during his lifetime, these oceans would flood all coastal areas worldwide. That's why he chose Viburnum, Missouri as his retirement home. Because of the classified briefing that he was in, he also helped me make the revisions on that map that's on my website, the map showing these flooded areas, from the seeing the same map in the classified briefing that he attended. So I've debriefed at least two dozen Navy veterans who were all at these classified briefings, Doug, and they all saw the same map, and they all say the same thing, that they were told during the classified briefings that these oceans would come out of their basins during their lifetimes, flooding all coastal areas.
Wow. Okay. Meanwhile, I got to sneak this in. Meanwhile, you know, Greta Thunberg. Yeah.
Thunberg.
Yeah. How dare you? That Greta Thunberg, or as referenced, who said thunder thighs? I can't remember. Was it President Donald Trump? Or somebody, anyway, that got, she was described as thunder thighs. I don't remember who said, who did this on Twitter, but that got
not a complimentary thing to say.
How dare you? But she, here's what she's, look, I'm just reporting what people say. Okay. Cranky climate crackpot Greta Thunberg demands end the fossil fuel right now.
Right now.
Oh my God.
Well, she's saying, she may be legally an adult, but she's got the brain of a child.
Unflippin' believable.
No, she represents millions of people who believe the Al Gore story that human beings are causing climate change. That's a fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hubris to think that, people can cause the degree of climate change needed to, for this planet. And you know, that's, you know what, John, in thinking about that, that also tells me the lack of faith in God, because he certainly, God would not allow that, his creation he wouldn't set it up that way. That's my view anyway. I believe in God.
The Paris Climate Accords give 1.5 billion people in China and just about that many people in India, about 3 billion people, a free pass to make all the CO2 greenhouse gases they want.
Sure.
How could it possibly be a clear and present danger if you give 3 billion people a free pass to make all the greenhouse gases they want? That, on the face of it, proves it to be a complete fraud.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. John, I can't believe we got 3 minutes left here. Anything you want to toss out there? Anything? 3 minutes. By the way, May 1st and 2nd. Make sure, folks, Paul Begley's conference. Go to Liberty Man, thelibertyman.com, and look for that, and go to Eventbrite and sign up. Indianapolis. It's going to sell out quickly. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. That's the weekend.
You need to be there.
I do. I want to see Paul. I want to see you. And I do.
Well, the message is get all your conservative friends registered to vote. Help them to vote in person or absentee ballot. Support our president. Pray for our president. And pray for our country.
That's pretty succinct. You're right. Pray for our country. Get all your friends to register to vote. And, you know, voting.
Only your conservative friends.
Conservative friends. That's right. One might argue I don't have any friends.
I'm not going to encourage them to vote.
Yeah, I'll vote for you. Stay home. All right. I cracked me up. Hey, thanks for ordering my coffee. Let me know how you like it. I want to know.
Well, I ordered the whole bean. I'll grind it up on my antique hand grinder, and I'll have some as soon as it gets here.
I'm telling you, man, that's the best way to do it. You grind it fresh and have it, yep. It'll put a little bounce in your step. You know,
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
All right, brother. At the end of the program, I want to say thank you. And God bless you until next week. But I'll talk to you before that. All right, brother.
Yeah, let's do talk privately soon. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, folks. Wow, that went quickly. That was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Thelibertyman.com. wow. You know, for as many times as he says that about the jet stream and the stopping on June of 2020, that just blows my mind. I don't know if it blows yours, but it blows my mind. It really does. All right. Some things we're following, of course. In closing, just so you know, the IG report. All right. Now, look, folks, I know. Now, John said a few things. I just want to clarify this, you know, but well, you know, arresting a former president could really upset the apple cart. Yeah, I could. Am I willing to risk that? Me personally? Yep. 100%. But the IG report, collusion bombshell. All right. That there's, and I told you about the article in the Federalist. That was about the Oleg Deripaska. And if you've been following this, it's not new news. The question is, will anything come of it? And at the epicenter of this, of IG Horowitz report, is on this federal surveillance, is Bruce and Nellie Orr. And don't forget, we had talked about Bruce and Nellie Orr before. Nellie Orr very well could have written, authored part of the Steele dossier, or one of the segments of the Steele dossier. Diana West, Red Thread, talked about this as a guest on our program. But this is something that needs to be followed. I'm going to leave it right there. I want to get into that a little bit more. A few more things. This is very disturbing. Let me see where I put this. In the UK, listen to this. There was a 21-year-old woman posing as a 16-year-old boy online. Sexually assaults up to 50 girls as young as 13. Now, out of all the headlines, why did I bring this up? Obviously, it's egregious. It's disturbing. But in my view, when I look at this and I get into the nitty gritty of the facts of this story. Okay. You gotta go to, what's the name of this website? DC Dirty Laundry, apparently. Anyway, when you get into the details of the story, you'll see that this has, this is ominous. This is a byproduct or a consequence of the agenda, the transgendered agenda. Notice I didn't say gay lesbian agenda. I said the transgendered agenda, because you've got this activist component in addition to the gay lesbian or homosexual agenda, but you also have this component of the transgenders. But, and by the way, a lot of the transgendered are breaking away from the homosexual component. The homosexual is saying you're too extreme for us. But this is the agenda, I believe, that was always there. Remember Coach Dave coming on and saying, Obergefell, it's going to have extreme ramifications, and it did. They're not going to stop with homosexual marriage. They're going to want to normalize all sorts of other activities. Well, that's what this is, in my view, or a consequence of this. So I wanted to bring that up. All right. So having said that, we're going to be watching this week. We're going to be watching Virginia. We're going to be watching, really the international component, but we're also going to be looking at things happening domestically in terms of potential additional revelations about the deep state, those people like the Orrs, and the, as I mentioned before, the findings of the IG report, but also the prosecutions or lack thereof, and holding people to account on that. Thursday, we're going to have Paul McGuire on. I didn't even tell Eric this. Paul McGuire is going to be coming on Thursday on the show. Pastor Langford on with me live on Wednesday. Of course, tomorrow, Steve Quayle. Don't forget now, Keith Hansen's show, powered by the Hagman Report, as the third hour of the Hagman Report. It's because of you. It's because of you. Folks, thank you in advance for your support. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. Patreon, PayPal, mail, and may God bless each one of you. Have a great day.